Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of It Came From Amity. This is Casey, and across from me, as always, is Noah Weddle.
Your good-looking super stud of a co-host.
He is a super stud. Super, super, super stud.
Mm.
So, we have been a couple weeks
away
from
Mike. We're still alive. Still here. No smoke inhalation from Canada.
Yep. Yeah. We're all good. The haze has kind of disappeared thanks to the rain and the winds.
That'll catch up with us 30 years from now, though.
Yeah.
It's like, were you around during the great smoke inhalation of 2023? Yeah. It's like the old asbestos suing commercials, you know?
Well, I mean, if the smoke inhalation doesn't get you, something will.
Something else will. Oh, Canada. Blame Canada.
Yeah.
It's all their fault. We're all going to join together to sue Canada.
Let's sue Canada.
Yeah. Call us. Call Ken Nunn.
What's this about?
Anyway.
So, yeah, we've been away from the mic for a couple weeks. Noah has been busy, I think. 2 weeks ago, you had a wedding.
It's all my fault.
And then
we recorded 2 weeks ago. We just missed 1 week.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, we recorded 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
it's not that bad.
Yeah.
We're fine.
I'm just having a brain fart. It's okay. Senior moment.
It's all right.
So I was made aware about a topic here about a year or so ago on another podcast, and I thought I would look more into it because that podcast kind of just skims a topic even more than we do. They just kind of bring it up and talk about it a little bit. Kind of like almost like a little 5 minute tidbit. So there is a garden in London that is called the Poison Garden, in short. It's actually a part of a more complex system of gardens in Northumberland. And we're going to talk about it and talk about kind of just how creepy that
and the first
such a garden would even exist.
The first thing I said is it sounds like Rami Malek's character in 007 No Time to Die, the new James Bond, because he lived in a poison garden. His compound was a poison garden.
Yeah.
And it's like, how cool is that? You know, one false step and you're going to die.
I would almost bet that this is probably where the inspiration
came from. It probably is. Pretty cool.
So we'll kind of get into the history a little bit, and we'll talk about some of the stuff that's actually in the garden. So the name of the garden itself is called Alnwick Garden, Alnwick. And it is a complex of formal gardens adjacent to a castle by the same name and a town of the same name in Northumberland, England. And the gardens have been associated with the Dukes of Northumberland. I don't know why I said Cumberland.
There's a lot of people, like actors and musicians, that are from Northumberland.
Yes.
It's like a very popular place for some reason.
It is. And
Is it a city or a region? Do you know?
Northumberland.
I'm guessing it's a region.
Like a town.
Is it? Okay.
I think so. Or I guess it would be like more like a county since Alnwick is a town, so okay. I guess it's like a county or like a principality, maybe. I don't know. European kind of formatting is so foreign to me.
Yeah, and I remember hearing a lot of, like, from Northumberland, like from different actors and musicians, and so it must be like the breeding ground for fame, I guess, over there.
That sounds about right. I mean,
I don't know. A lot of wrestlers from there. A lot of people.
Yeah, so. You're right. Yeah, there's been quite a few wrestlers from Northumberland. Yeah. There's this long line of dukes of Northumberland that has basically controlled that particular castle and that land.
Is it a government-owned property?
It's controlled by a charitable organization now.
So it's a nonprofit.
Correct. So the garden now has like a central water cascade. It's got themed plantings. It's got all sorts of stuff. And there's been like public disputes between the Duchess of Northumberland at the time and garden experts talk about preservation and use of public lands.
You know how plants like some plants release oxygen and carbon dioxide and stuff? I wonder if there's some plants that release poison gases that you can't be close to. There's got to be, right?
Yes, and there is. One of the more infamous stories is that sightseers have gone through the guided tour and have inhaled fumes from some of the plants, and they've fainted.
Dang.
While and you cannot free roam this garden.
Yeah.
It's strictly forbidden. You are to follow the guide on the path. You are instructed that you are not to touch anything. You are not to smell anything. You are not to taste anything. You are to keep your hands and all of your other body parts to yourself.
It's crazy they would even let people that close to them on a tour,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's
that's nuts.
It's basically like, and that was part of it, is that basically when they started to revitalize this and create this garden, is I guess London was kind of like, absolutely freaking not. Like,
there's probably a lot of like endangered plants, so they do it to keep them alive, right?
It's kind of like done in the name of conservation and education, but there is a lot of plants there that you would probably be familiar with, or at least their byproducts.
Some plants should just be extinct, right?
Well, you'd think.
You think they got Venus flytraps there?
I think they do.
Those things are crazy.
They might. I can't remember. I remember saying that there were carnivorous plants there of some form.
Have you ever seen like an up close thing of it in action? How creepy it is.
What's the other one?
It's nuts.
It's something Bell, but basically it hangs there.
Yes. It's what that Pokemon's made after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically there's a nectar, so to speak, in the bottom of the bell, and it attracts the insects.
Yeah.
And then they'll fall into it, and it turns out that nectar isn't really nectar at all. It's digestive juices.
Yeah. Sweet to lure them in.
Yep. And then it digests them.
It's crazy.
I cannot remember what...
How do these plants... Like, how do they not have brains and stuff to know how to function and...
It's just like...
It's so crazy, dude.
It is crazy.
But, I mean, just the design. Whoever designed that kind of blueprint for those plants, I mean, it's just absolutely nuts.
It is, really. I mean, especially like you just okay, you know, you're like, you know, your typical plant. It's in the ground,
yeah,
and it takes nutrients out of the soil and it gets energy.
They're very passive, right?
Yeah.
Just let the sun get us.
And then you get these carnivorous plants or carnivorous.
They're luring in and basically hunting, right? Luring in, setting traps.
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of hunting.
Yeah. And
that's nuts, dude.
Nick's, you know, it's eating spiders and flies and gnats and crickets and all sorts of other stuff. So, yeah, the poison garden itself has only been in the garden since February of 2005. So it's like the newest addition to this garden. And it is cordoned off by wrought iron fences and gates. And you know you're approaching the garden when you come up to these signs, and they're black with white letters. And it says, these plants can kill. And in the center of the plaque is skull and crossbones. So that's how you know you're approaching this garden. And those gates are locked until they start a tour. So, and the actual groundskeepers that have to go in and take care of the plants, a lot of times most of the time they will wear protective like outfits. With gloves and boots and all that, almost like a beekeeper's outfit.
Yeah.
And they will wear respirators and eye protection to keep from absorbing poisons and toxins so they don't get sick or even quite possibly die. But a little brief history. So the garden itself, the first garden in this was actually first laid down in 1750 by the first Duke of Northumberland, who employed Capability Brown, the celebrated Northumberland gardener, to landscape the parkland adjoining Alnwick Museum. And the third Duke was a plant collector and led a century of development at Alnwick as he brought seeds from all over the world, and this included pineapples that were raised in hothouses. And then in the 19th century, the fourth Duke created an Italianate garden featuring a large conservatory. And at the end of the century, the gardens were at their grandest with a yew topiary, avenues of limes, and acres of flowers. And then during the Second World War, The garden was turned basically into more or less a farm to where it grew food. And then after the war, it went into disrepair. And it was actually closed as a working garden in 1950. Then there was this massive redevelopment process to basically revitalize the garden because it was such a grand garden back in its day. And they kind of want to revitalize it and bring history back to life. And then in 2005, they brought in all these poisonous, toxic plants into its own separate part of the garden. I guess part of an educational process, I guess. To kind of just chat about some of the different plants that are in this particular garden. One of those is Strychnos nox vomica, which is...
That sounds like a freaking Danish black metal band.
Kind of does, actually.
Say it again.
Strychnos nox vomica.
Strychnos nox vomica!
Yeah. Which, if strychnos sounds familiar, it's because it's the source for strychnine, which is a very, very poison. Derivative.
Yeah.
It's actually been used as poison historically throughout the ages. Then you have hemlock, famous
Shakespeare used it a lot.
Oh yeah, it came
they
up
drank
in Shakespeare.
Hemlock.
Yeah, did hemlock appear in? Was that in Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah,
most
they
famously?
Drank hemlock. Yep, a couple other books had it, or plays had it too.
Then you have the Ricinus communis.
Ricin.
Which yes, ricin is one comes from that plant, but also the harmless castor oil comes from that plant. Then you have the very dangerous, and there's the mythological foxglove. Foxglove is called, so there's a story about why it's called foxglove, is that foxes would actually wear the flowers on their paws to keep them from, I can't remember why they would do it, but they were supposedly wear the flowers, but that's not true. There's nothing remotely true about foxes wearing the flowers as basically mittens. Then you have the Atropa belladonna, or commonly called deadly nightshade. Nightshade has been used famously in lots of other books and stories. It's also very deadly poison. However, it's also the derivative for the cardiac drug atropine. So if you are a paramedic or doctor or nurse and you heard Atropa, you probably already knew where I was going with that almost immediately. If you don't know and if you're not in EMS or in medicine at all, you can just simply Google atropine to figure out how that works, and why that is so important as a cardiac drug. Anyway, going forward, you also have Brugmansia and Labrinum. So the mission of the poison garden includes drug education, and this features plants like cannabis and coca and the opium poppy, Papaver sonniferum. The poison garden is the main attraction for the Alnwick Gardens.
Remember Breaking Bad where he accidentally, what was it? The baby got the ricin.
I'm not going to lie. I've never seen Breaking Bad.
Oh.
Ever.
Keep talking.
I'm sorry.
One of the greatest shows ever written, but that's cool.
I've seen clips and it does look really good.
It's amazing.
But I've never seen the show itself. Sorry. My bad.
That's okay.
But those are just a few of the plants. There are a lot of others. But yeah, as Noah brought up, one of the most famous kind of, I guess not anecdotes, because you know, it's something, you know, an anecdote is something that's not proven. It's a personal story, but there are numerous cases where people have gone through the path on the guided tour, too much fumes coming off some of these toxic plants, and they will faint. When that happens,
I shouldn't have licked that belladonna.
that'd be no bueno. If I remember right, I think belladonna causes your heart to quicken, I believe.
Yeah.
Atropa belladonna, commonly known as belladonna or deadly nightshade, is a toxic perennial herbaceous plant in the nightshade family, which also includes tomatoes, potatoes, eggplant, or aubergine. It is native to Europe, North Africa, and Western Asia, including Turkey. Its distribution extends from Ireland and in the west to Western Ukraine and the Iranian province of Gilan.
So it probably makes your heart go...
Yeah, it's actually a really ugly plant. Like, the flowers are extremely ugly.
Pretty name, though.
The foliage and berries are extremely toxic when ingested, containing tropane alkaloids. These toxins include atropine, which I mentioned earlier, scopolamine, and I can't pronounce that one, which cause delirium and hallucinations and are also used as pharmaceutical anti-whatevers. Tropane alkaloids are a common occurrence not only in the Old World tribes, to which the genus Atropa belongs, but also in the New World tribe, whichever that is. There's a lot of Latin here, all which belong to the subfamily of this other thing I can't pronounce. Excuse me. Uses. So basically, cosmetics. The common name belladonna originates from historic use by women, as belladonna is Italian for beautiful woman. Drops paired from the belladonna plant were used to dilate women's pupils, in an effect considered to be attractive and seductive. Belladonna drops act as a muscarinic antagonist, blocking receptors in the muscles of the eye that constrict pupil size. Belladonna is currently rarely used cosmetically, as it carries the adverse effects of causing minor visual distortions, inability to focus on nearby objects, and increased heart rate, which is what I talked about earlier. Prolonged uses was reputed to cause blindness. No kidding.
Wow.
In the United States, belladonna is marketed as a dietary supplement. Gotta say, I've never heard of that. Typically as an atropine ingredient in over-the-counter cold medicine products. What? No way. Because when I was in EMS, we carried atropine on the truck. And we used it in cardiac arrest cases.
Yeah.
To basically try to get the heart to pump. We give them epinephrine and atropine. So epi is...
It's a stimulant.
It's adrenaline.
Yeah.
So you're trying to basically jumpstart the heart.
Yeah.
Pharmaceutically. While at the same time also shocking their heart if they have a shockable rhythm.
So, and preventing blowing up their heart at the same time.
I mean, dead is dead.
True. Yeah.
I mean, you can't get more dead than dead.
That's true.
And if you're given epinatropine and shocking the heart, clinically they're already dead.
Right. So it's a last ditch effort kind of thing.
Oh yeah. I mean, you're basically just throwing the drug box at them and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
Back when in my days on the boo-boo bus, it was 3 rounds each. So you'd give, epiatropine, shock, see if there's a shock. If I remember right, it's been several years now. Epiatropine shock.
Did you have a lot more cases where you were able to bring people back than dying?
No.
It was rare to bring them back.
Oh my God, yes.
Really? See, I thought there was actually a good chance if you got there early enough or whatever.
The national survivability for cardiac arrest is less than 10%. Their survivability for a traumatic cardiac arrest is less than 1%.
Really?
So, like, say if you were shot or ended up in a car accident or something like that that caused your heart to stop, you have a less than 1% chance of survival.
Dang.
Once EMS arrives and begin their life-saving treatment.
So, like, that football player that got hit a couple months ago, that was very lucky that he survived that.
I mean, because
that would have been traumatic.
Well, they're not 100% sure that the hit is what caused his heart to stop.
Yeah.
Because this has nothing to do with politics, but a lot of athletes who have been known to take the steroids. COVID vaccines, a lot of them have keeled over.
Yeah.
So
they probably pump steroids and shit too.
I mean, I'm sure that there's probably some sort of pharmaceutical adverse effects of combining those two types of things.
Well, I mean, steroids enlarges your heart.
Right.
That's how Eddie Guerrero died.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's proven.
Right.
So, but yeah.
But
we don't want to get into politics, but they'll find a way to blame the vaccines or something, you know.
At any rate, his the fact that he was able to be resuscitated.
Extremely lucky.
And the fact that he is up and moving and walking and
he's
talking.
He's playing again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that nuts?
I mean, like I said, he beat the odds.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's crazy.
Because, I mean, you look at it at 10% survival rate, you're looking at a 90% chance he's getting put in the ground. Yeah. Right?
Or a vegetable, like brain issues and stuff.
Yeah, because anytime, okay, so yeah, if.
If you lose blood flow to the brain like that, I mean, that could do anything. Brain,
yeah, because each passing moment that your brain is not getting oxygen-rich blood.
It's dying.
It's tissue death for the brain.
Right.
So, and that's not good because, well, now you're losing brain function, which basically means eventually loss of personality. So now you got a potato for a person.
Yeah.
And so it's.
That's crazy, man.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, survival rates for cardiac arrest, they have gotten a little better over time. But I mean, you're talking like decimals up a percent. You're not talking like because
basically if you're meant to go, you're gonna go. There's no way around it.
One of the common things that we often said in EMS is we didn't save lives, we just prolonged life. Like you don't it's kind of because I mean everybody dies,
right?
So you're just kind of like, you know,
putting a band-aid on a gunshot wound.
It's like, hey, you know, good job. You might have another 5, 10, 15 years, which I mean, you know, I'm sure that they're grateful for.
I mean,
for.
A day is worth it, you know? At least you can finish up what you need to finish up. And,
right.
But yeah.
But yeah, that's, but yeah, atropine is a very important pharmaceutical, especially for cardiac arrest. But that's just crazy. I never heard of atropine in a over-the-counter cold medicine. That can't be right. I'm going to have to look more into
it's
that.
Crazy.
Because that just makes me wonder. I've never seen it.
But yeah, that is our short episode on the Poison Garden in Northumbridge. Yeah, Northumberland, right?
Northumberland in, where did I?
UK.
Where was the town? Alnwick. Alnwick.
Okay.
I think that's the right
word. Alnwick is John Wick's uncle.
Alnwick. Alnwick. That's such a fun word to say, actually.
They have weird names there.
They really do.
Yeah. You guys are weird. Just so you know.
There's probably some like...
There's some UK listeners.
There's like one UK listener. He's like, hey.
You guys are weird.
I'm from Alnwick.
I mean, you're our closest ally and we love you and respect you, but you're weird.
It's actually not too far from the sea, actually. It's like...
I do want to go there, though, man. I want to go to UK and Ireland and Scotland. I want to go over there so bad.
It's like really close, like probably like a, I'd say like maybe based on the map scale, probably like 15-minute drive from the coast.
They've got some of the most magnificent, beautiful coastal scenery there, you know, especially Ireland.
Oh yeah,
totally.
It's neat landscaping. But yeah, that's kind of the little bit on the Poison Garden. I've always thought it was kind of interesting and kind of just morbid that such a thing even exists. And I thought that I would make you guys aware of it too, because you guys are weird like I am. So, this weekend I will be doing a small little video detailing the game, basically to give away the tote bag, that I mean, meaning to do the rules for the tote bag. But anyway, I know I'm like a week behind. That's my bad, because I keep forgetting to do it. It's not that I'm not doing it. It's just I keep forgetting to do it. So this weekend, I'll be doing a video detailing the rules. It's going to be really short and sweet. I've already kind of decided how it's going to be done. But I'm going to do the video to describe it. And I'm going to upload that on Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok. So that way, if you're not on one certain platform, you're not going to miss out. When I displayed the tote bag the merchandise from the sample box, the tote bag seemed to grab a lot of people's attention, so that's the item we're going to give away. So I'll probably do that most likely Saturday afternoonish. So just stay tuned for that. And I'll go over the rules and all that for that. And so far, this is about the third time I've wore the It Came From Amity shirt from Haley Wilson. It's been holding up in the wash really nice. The colors are still good. The letters are still popping. So we're going to be talking to her probably really soon to discuss an actual partnership for her to use our logo, and you guys can buy merch directly from her. We'll probably be doing that here in another couple of weeks to get some things ironed out. So stay tuned for that announcement as well. Noah, do you got anything?
Nothing at all from my side, man. Just living every day like it's my last.
Oh my God.
Like I might inhale a plant.
He's going to go out there
and lick a belladonna.
He's going out there and start licking dandelions for no reason.
Yep. Just living every day like it's my last.
And I like the dandelions.
Enjoying it. Waiting for my dogs to go crazy over the fireworks in a few days.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up, yeah.
Trying to avoid getting hit by a tornado because that seems to be the popular thing here in Indiana lately.
Yeah, this year's been pretty crazy.
Especially this area.
Yeah.
Central Indiana.
It hit like Whiteland Greenwood twice in a season. It's
yeah,
crazy.
Three tornadoes. And yeah. So, anyway.
Anyway, we will be back, if not next week, because we are going to try to do the flip-floppy thing that we've been doing. So if we're not back next Friday, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode.
Get your 90s stuff out for next week.
That's right.
We're going to do another 90s episode.
Hoorah.
I hope you guys have been enjoying that.
Yeah, we've been enjoying doing that as well. I'm really enjoying kind of going down memory lane. And so with that said, I hope you guys have a great weekend. Have an awesome Independence Day out there. Be safe. Don't get too stupid out there with your fireworks and your alcohol and all that, because we'd hate to talk about you on a future It Came From Amity podcast episode.
True.
We don't want to make you a topic.
Yeah.
So unless it's like a fun one. So that's a tragic one.
Yeah.
So with that said, you guys have a great couple weeks, and we will talk with y'all later.
Mm-hmm. Peace out.